We're going to be looking in 1 John chapter 1. I'll give you a few moments to turn there. 1 John chapter 1. That's not the gospel according to John, but 1 John chapter 1. You're going to find that a little bit before Revelation, and you'll be ready to go. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time that we can get together. We thank you especially for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, it's nice to be able to shut the doors and to be able to come in here and do absolutely nothing except the most important thing, is that is to look at your word and hear from you. Father, we pray that our hearts and our minds would be drawn to the Lord Jesus, that this morning that we would be changed for the glory of Christ because of what we read in your scriptures. We thank you for them, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I dare say, folks, that I think that I'm going through, I read it somewhere in Reader's Digest recently, almost a little midlife crisis. I need a boat. I don't know about a convertible, but I need something. And it's interesting, and I was having a conversation with one of my teachers. I work at a middle school. And how you go through cycles of your life, how you change. And I think with the kids, and we have our oldest with us today, whose name is Sarah Desiree, adopted a few years ago. She's now 7. Johnny, who's with my wife, because it's just a long ride down for almost a 4-year-old little boy who would be throwing things throughout the entire time if he was here after that ride. He's 4, and things change. Priorities change. It seems like work is busier than it's ever been. It seems like the demands and the stressors of life are greater than they've ever been. And it's just nice to refocus ourselves, folks. And I want to refocus us, myself included, this morning. John chapter 1, actually 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. During the time that John wrote this, he was an old-timer. He was in the latter years of his life. It's nice to get that perspective. 1 John was a letter, a general letter that was distributed throughout the churches. Many churches read it. We have it even today. And folks, I want you to know that 1, 2, and 3 John deal with practical things. If you were expecting a discussion about big theological concepts this morning, I'm the wrong person. We'll have Brother Ray or Brother Bob or Brother Glenn up here. I'm the wrong person for that. Doesn't happen with me. Practical issues. 1 John has 5 chapters. 2 John, 1 chapter. 3 John, 1 chapter. The older I get, the more I like the little things in life. I'm going to take you through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John very quickly, and we're going to look at 3 nugget verses, one from each book, that I absolutely love. Folks, and I don't know where this came from, but as I was sitting and breaking of bread this morning, this came to me, so this is a little bit different than what I was prepared to do, but we're going to go very quickly through these things, and we're going to get into what I was studied up on. Let's take a look at 2 John chapter 1. Verse 10. If anyone comes to you, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, if anyone comes from you and does not bring this teaching, and the teaching that John is talking about is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in his fullness, in its completeness, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the deity of the Lord Jesus, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. In other words, folks, if people are coming to you, or people want to talk to you about things, or people want to engage you in discussions or debate about things, and it's not about the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, resurrection, the deity of Christ, don't even bother with it. Folks, I think that's a focus that we as Christians need to live today. We get jammed up, we get engaged in things that really are insignificant. 3 John chapter 1, obviously. Verse 4. And I want you to know that over the last few years, this has been precious to me. I've thought about this many times. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Folks, on a personal level and a spiritual level, actually, that's on every level, this is huge. How important it is for those of us that have children and those of us that are a body of believers to pray and to encourage our children. Let's turn back to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. These things John has written to us who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that we may know that we have eternal life. Folks, I have a friend who over the years has struggled and struggled and struggled because they weren't sure if they had eternal life, if they were saved. My Bible in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things were written so that we may know that we have eternal life. I saw that life, and fortunately he worked through that, and he has full assurance and confidence that the God who saved him is the God who is able to keep him. But I've seen him struggle with that, and struggle with that, and struggle with that. Folks, the Lord does not want us to struggle with that. He doesn't want us to struggle. There are too many things that we need to be struggling with. He doesn't want us to struggle with our salvation. He wants us to know, to have confidence in Him. And then 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read the whole of 1 John chapter 1, but one of my favorites here. And I'm going to ask if you circle or underline in your Bible, just kind of to yourself, see if this one's underlined or circled or highlighted. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, these are nuggets in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. These are nuggets. Big, practical things. Because you know what? Sometimes people come to us in the previous verses that we've read. They come to us and they want to talk to us about things that are insignificant. They come to us and they might not be testifying and declaring the truth of the Lord Jesus. And we listen to them and we participate in that and we mess up. And sometimes with our kids, sometimes we look at our kids and guess what? They're not walking in the truth. And sometimes we say to ourselves, I can't believe as a father I did that. And we see the impact that we have on our kids and how it can mess them up. And sometimes we doubt. We say to ourselves, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm doing. What am I doing as a Christian? What's going on, God? And fortunately, when we mess up, folks, and we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but this morning I am so thankful for the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. Not just that forgiving, sacrificial salvation work on the cross of Calvary, but every single time we sin, we mess up, we confess it, and we're forgiven. We're cleansed. Thank the Lord for that. And you know what, folks? The people that were around in the days when John, the old-timer, wrote these letters are still around today. There were those during the writing of these letters that they talked about Jesus, but they denied that He was the Christ. Listen to what my Bible's foregoing here says before the chapter. In the days of the apostle, there were those who taught that a mere intellectual knowledge was enough to make men acceptable to God, even though they lived impure lives. Amen, Reverend, whoever. John states that only those who did righteousness, that is, in a continued course, the habit of godly living, doing righteousness, lived conformable to the gospel. These were the ones that lived their life righteously, that made Christ the object of their trust. They patterned their walk after it. They practiced it. They lived it. These were the ones that John says we should follow. And folks, there are people today, all you have to do is turn on that connected portal into the world, whether that be the internet or the TV, and there are people that are going to tell you things that are not what Scripture says about Jesus. And John deals with that. And he tells the readers here in this time, and he tells us as well, folks, we need to get our priorities straight. We need to know what's going on. And he talks to these folks about practical things. He warns his readers. According to the John, and folks, if you were to read, and I would encourage you to do that, it's not very long. Your homework assignment is not very long. In my Bible, it's about 5 to 6 pages. I would encourage you to read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John today, tomorrow. Because if you were to read that through, you would see that the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John talks about things, extremes. He says either a person is a child of God or they're not. He says a person is either one or the other. There's no in between. We will see in John, you will see in John when you read it again, you will see that there are extremes in here. And folks, this world that we live in now, the same world that this was written in back then, is not a world of extremes. It's a world of gray area. It's not a world of absolutes. It's a world of in-betweens. John talks about extreme things such as, and opposite things such as light and darkness. He talks about things such as truth and lie. He talks about things such as love and hatred. He talks about things such as death and life, God and the devil. He talks about these things. He writes these things for us. Let's read chapter 1, starting with verse 1 of 1 John. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light. In extreme, folks, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the word and His word is not in us. Can you see just in that short portion that we read the extremes that John talks about? And he also talks very much about a person and looking at a person and what a person looks like and their that person's habitual behavior and their practice in discerning whether they're a Christian or not. John, and folks, if I've said Paul here, please excuse me, but and I probably have, I apologize, but John talks very much about walking the walk of a Christian. You see, it's real easy in the world in which we live today. Somebody will get on TV, or somebody will have a podcast or a whatever, and they'll say, "I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus." And the Christian community takes that and runs with that, and they say, "Amen, we have a believer where we want them in a position of power. And John says that we need to be more discerning than that. We need to look at a person's walk. We need to examine ourselves. What do we do on a daily basis, day in, day out? And John says, don't base your... John says he's not going to base his conclusion on a single act, but by what a person does over time. These aren't John's words, but, and they're not mine either, somebody said it. After all, a broken clock is right twice in a period of 24 hours. Right? So the general day-to-day behavior of a Christian should be holy and righteous, and by this he is known as a child of God. That's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. And folks, we need this perspective, because there are people that are saying they are Christians today who are not believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that are talking and they are professing things that sound good and they tickle our ears and they warm our bellies and they're lovey and they're dovey and they're fuzzy and they're wuzzy. But they're not the truth of Scripture. Folks, we are mandated that we need to look at people's behaviors over time to determine if they're a believer or not. Fortunately, that judgment call is God's judgment call in the end. And John, as we see in chapter 1, he immediately starts to talk about the most important thing. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld with our and our hands handled concerning the Word of Life. He immediately starts talking about Jesus. He immediately starts talking about Jesus. I was convicted by my wife. Glad she's not here. I was convicted by my wife. And I don't even think she realizes it. But I was convicted when we were talking and it came to my mind, no doubt through the leading of the Holy Spirit. How much time do I spend with my family, my children, my wife, with Jesus? Talking about Jesus. Talking about spiritual things. John starts out and he talks about the Lord Jesus. He says, those things that we have heard, that we have seen, John talks about Jesus. Jesus is not a fairy tale. He's not a myth. He's not a fantasy. He's not a good teacher that was killed. John ascribes to him eternalness. What was from the beginning. John saw him. John heard him. John beheld. He looked at amazement with the things that Jesus did. John touched him. John saw great things concerning the Word of Life, the Lord Jesus. And folks, John writes that what he and the other apostles saw and they heard, they proclaimed to us today. That testimony of the apostles that they proclaimed to us based upon what they saw, based upon the Lord Jesus, and John says that all who receive that testimony have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and with the apostles and all other believers. How amazing it is, my friends, that we, guilty sinners, can be brought into fellowship with God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus. How amazing it is. Verse 4 of 1 John chapter 1 says, and these things we write so that your joy may be made complete. John leads us to the true foundation of true fellowship and true joy. A lot of truth here, folks. Listen, because you might not hear it other places today. A lot of truth, the true foundation of true fellowship and true joy, and that is found in the truth of the Lord Jesus. That's where it's found. John knew the world is incapable of providing joy and fellowship that would last. Incapable of it. Providing true joy and true fellowship that would last. This joy can only come through that proper relationship with the Lord through His Son, Jesus Christ. It can only be there. So gentlemen, I'm right there with you. That might not mean that I might not buy a boat in a couple of years. I still might do it, okay? Give me a little flex there. I still may do it. But the fact of the matter is, if I'm buying that thing to give me joy, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. If I adopted those two children that we have, and I was graced to be able to adopt them, and I did it because that was going to give me true joy and true meaning in my life. Uh-oh. Will it give us joy? Sure it will. Will it give us meaning? Sure it will. But is that where it's coming from? And I would ask myself this morning, my friends, where am I seeking my fellowship? Where am I seeking my joy? Where? How many times have we heard this person or that person no longer part of the assembling together of believers? And folks, I'm not going to split hairs there. I'm talking about a body of believers here. How many times have we heard of somebody that's finding difficulty and they're no longer fellowshipping? Where's that joy going to come from? Where's that fellowship going to come from? Where's it going to come from? John tells us that these things must come from the Lord Jesus, from the apostles, from one another. What an opportunity that is. Fellowship describes a situation where two or more people share common things. Some of you I just met this morning, we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we share common things. I might have darker skin than you, lighter skin than you, taller than you, probably fatter than you, but we share the Lord Jesus. We share Jesus. I talk a lot to my students, and I'm in a public school, I'm not in a Christian school, so I have to, I talk a lot to my students, and they talk to me about peer pressure. And how tough things are, and talk a lot about to Christian kids too, about peer pressure. And how hard things are. And with a Christian kid, I sit down with him, I say, what do you mean peer pressure's hard? Peers and fellowship are very similar. If you're with a peer, that means you have something in common with them. 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 neurologists that get together for a convention, they could be a peer group. They might be different ages, they may be different ethnicities, they may be different a lot of things, but they're a peer group. And folks, if we are getting negative peer pressure to do things we shouldn't do, we need to check our peer group. Who are we hanging around with? Who are we fellowshipping with? Those folks that we should be fellowshipping with are those folks that have Jesus Christ as a priority in their lives. It's real hard, folks. It's real hard to live in the world without any other engagement or fellowship with anyone else that's a believer in the Lord Jesus. How important it is, and gentlemen, I applaud you, how important it is for men to gather together and talk and to pray. Women, how important it is to get together and to talk and to pray with those of like mind. John also comes down here and he talks about fellowship, as we've heard. And if we're going to have fellowship with God, it helps if we know something about God, doesn't it? John talks about fellowship with God. It helps if I'm going to have fellowship with somebody, it helps if I know something about them. And in verse 5, this is what John says, and this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Folks, this verse means that God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. That means that God is absolutely holy and absolutely righteous and absolutely pure. If you want to talk about extreme, we have extreme sports, extreme snowboarding, extreme jet skiing, extreme skateboarding, extreme skiing. We have an extreme God. Holy, pure, undefiled. And verse 6 follows that if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Folks, if we claim to be a Christian and walk in sin, Scripture says we lie. And we are not practitioners of the truth. There are a lot of people nowadays, there are a lot of people back then that are talking about God. They're praying, they're doing, they're going, they're saying, they're singing, and yet they're walking in sin. Walking in darkness. Scripture says they're liars. Notice that God is light. God is light. He doesn't have to walk in light because he is light. Folks, we as Christians, we are not light. We're not light. We have to walk in light. You can turn your TV on sometime late at night and you can see a guy that talks about, I don't even know what he talks about, but he talks about the source that's within you. And the source that's within you, and he's very eloquent. And he's pretty good looking too, and he dresses real nice and casual, and he has nice backgrounds up there. And he talks about the source that's within you and tapping into that source. What we as Christians can do is reflect the light of God in our lives. We can't generate that light. Yes, that we as Christians, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and we can reflect God's light. But there's nothing within me that's going to generate that. It's not going to happen. So notice that John, when he talks about believers, he talks about us walking in the light. He talks about walking in holiness, walking as a pattern of living that is pleasing to God. We mentioned that John does not say, if you sin, you're not a Christian. John doesn't say that, folks. He looks at the walk of a person day in and day out. And you know what, folks? Satan loves nothing more than when we mess up, we trip up, we get engaged in sin. Satan likes nothing more than to stomp on us and say, see, you're no good. You're no good. You can't do it. You are no good. You just might as well stay down there on the ground. God doesn't want you. God doesn't want you. John tells us that we as Christians, we're going to sin, we're going to mess up, but our practice, our desire, our walk has to be in a way that is pleasing to God. But if we walk in the light, verse 7, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And for a person to have fellowship with God, we must walk in the light. Scripture says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, folks, light and darkness have absolutely nothing to do with one another. Nothing to do. In fact, I'll relate my own life here. When I have sin in my life and it is exposed to the light, you ever walk in a house? Hopefully not too often. You ever walk in a house and you flip the lights on at night and you see scurrying around? When that light is cast, sin scurries around like cockroaches. You know that it's there. You know that it's there. Light and darkness have nothing to do with each other. And thank God when that light is shed on sin in our lives and we have an advocate with the Father and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from that sin. Let's take a look at verse 8 and verse 9 here. And John becomes a little repetitive here. And whenever somebody becomes repetitive in the Word of God, it's important to listen even more carefully. In verse 8 and 10, John gets repetitive. He says, if we say we have no sin, in verse 8, and he says, if we say that we have not sinned, in verse 10, folks, there are a lot of people today that are claiming that they are Christians and they are claiming that they do not sin, they have not sinned. In fact, somebody wrote a song about it. I'm not a sinner, I've never sinned, I got a friend in Jesus. Folks, beware. Beware the person that walks up on this platform and says, I've never sinned. I don't have sin in my life. Beware. Beware. There are a lot of people who are saying that we can live our lives perfectly. I submit to you the truth of Scripture that the best perspective that we can have on ourselves, believers, is that we as a people, as a person, I'm filthy and dirty and rotten, and I'm a sinner who Jesus loves, who he saved by his grace. We sin. As believers in the Lord Jesus, we sin. We do or we don't do what Jesus doesn't want us to do or wants us to do. We sin. And if we say that we don't, this right here is harsh words. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. And his word is not in us. And folks, while we sin, it shouldn't be our walk to sin. It shouldn't be our habit to sin. You know, you can tell a lot about a person by their walk, right? I deal with middle schoolers all the time, and when somebody comes into my office that I have to discipline, they come in. I can tell a lot by that. I sit across from people, and they walk in. I was wrong. You can tell a lot by a person's walk. That's what John is saying that we do with our walk with Christ. perhaps one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, folks. And here it is. We've already said it. We're going to close with this. You might be here this morning, and you might be saying to yourself, what an awesome task we have to walk in God's light, to do things that are pleasing to Him, to not do things that are not pleasing to Him. And folks, let me say this to you, that if you're going to do that on your own abilities and your own strength and your own desire to go out there and play a good game, you're never going to do it. You're never going to do it. Does desire have something to do with it? It sure does. Does willingness to yield your life have something to do with it? It sure does. What's the greatest thing, folks? You got the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Christ, indwelling within you. You need to live a Spirit-filled life. That's a whole nother series. But part of that is fellowship with God, communicating with God. God, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling here. It's hard for me. Help me. I want to do what you desire for me to do. And that's, folks, that's why verse 9 is here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John sets the bar real high, folks. He sets the bar real high. If there were bracelets that say WWJD back in the day when he wrote this, he might be wearing one. What would Jesus do? He sets it high. But through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says to us, you know what, folks? We're going to mess up. We're going to sin. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Scripture says that God has taken our sins and cast them as far as the what? The east is from the west. He chooses to remember them no more. Albeit that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ confess our sins, understand that God will forgive us and desire and walk no longer in a way that's displeasing to Him. Folks, these are some telltale signs of a Christian. I would encourage you, when you go home later today, tomorrow, to read 6 or 7 pages, that's not too bad, and get some practical, encouraging nuggets of truth in these 3 epistles that John wrote for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank You that we as believers in the Lord Jesus, there is nothing that we can do that would even cause us to live a perfect life. But Father, Your desire in us is that we reflect Your light. We reflect Your truth. We reflect Your pureness. And Father, we're thankful for the indwelling Holy Spirit in us. As believers in the Lord Jesus, that we're not doing this on our might. It's not by might and not by power, but by Your Spirit. And Father, we're sinners saved by grace. And we thank You that when we mess up and we fall down and we trip up and we make a big mess of things, Father, we thank You that Scripture says that If we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we thank you for that. Help us to keep short accounts with you. Father, help us desire to walk in your light. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.